All right, thanks for coming. Good morning. It's great to see this room full of people, but the ones that are here are very special to me, so thank you for being here. We'll make this very intimate. I'll sit with you. You can come closer. So my name is Giorgio Sardo. I'm the director of the Technical Evangelist and Development in Redmond. And my team works on Windows, Windows Phone, and Xbox. So we get to have fun with a lot of cool technology, play with the cool devices, and play with bits before they get released to the market. We work with developers, communities. So we share what we are doing internally, but we also get feedbacks from what you are doing with our products, the things that you would like to see, the feedback that you have to improve our products. And so today I will focus specifically on Windows 8.1. This is, we released the preview of 8.1 just a couple of weeks ago, so it's very new. I'm sure that you've been overly busy working on your projects day and night over the last weeks, so probably you didn't have time to look into the what's new in 8.1. And so hopefully this is just an overview of all of the news. And I will tell you that there is a lot of content to cover, and I'm not going to go into the details of every single thing in 8.1. But before I start, let's just start from Windows 8, and let me share a few numbers in case you're interested about the momentum that we're seeing on our side. We got over 100 million licenses sold of Windows 8 in the first 6 months of the release, which is an outstanding number. It's more than what we release in Windows 7 and any other releases of Windows. Our store has more than 100,000 apps. How many of you already submitted an app to the Windows Store? Great. So your 4 apps are part of these 100,000. We also have a lot of downloads. So we are counting 250 million downloads. And 90% of the applications in the store are actually being consumed and used by users, which is a good, for us is a good sign that the quality of the apps is there. Of course, we want to continue to work on quality and make sure that we have amazing apps and amazing catalog. As we get into Windows 8.1, we're going to continue these investments. And so you can imagine, you can expect us to continue to innovate and continue to work on the 8, on the base that we build with 8. In particular, a few things that you might care about. Number one, it's going to be free. So either you are on Windows 8 Pro or Windows RT, you're going to get Windows 8.1 update for free. Secondly, in terms of timing, we have a release available right now that you can already install on your Surface or on your PC. And then the RTM is scheduled for late August. So we're very close to ship in production the 8.1 update. And lastly, there are actually more devices coming. So today, for example, I have with me a touch laptop. I have a Surface. There are like 8-inch devices already around, like I was playing with it like a couple of weeks ago. And OEMs are working on a lot of new form factors and sizes and resolutions and sensors. So it's quite amazing to see the momentum also from the hardware side. And so let's get into the specifics. This is going to be a technical session. So let's get started getting into the specific of the platform and what's changed in 8.1. My assumption for this talk is that you already play with Windows 8 before. So let me validate that assumption. Did you already install Windows 8 before? Yes, amazing. And so this is what you already know and what you used before. This is just a taxonomy of the APIs in Windows 8.0. With 8.1, we are improving many of these building blocks. And so, for example, if you take XAML, we did a lot of performance improvements to improve performance of your XAML application and responsiveness of those. And there are many blocks where we listened to your feedbacks and we made improvements in the APIs. We also added a lot of new APIs. And so what you see in blue now are all new building blocks available for you in 8.1. And we will cover many of those in this session today. And of course, all of these relate to the Windows runtime. So all of these APIs together, that's the Windows runtime. It applies to Windows Store apps. In parallel, we also continue to innovate on the desktop side. And so if you have an application, say, built with Kinect or with WPF, we are now starting to extend more of these APIs and bring those APIs back to the desktop. And so you can actually call into some of these APIs from your desktop application. For example, if you want to send a push notification or you want to interact with your tile, we allow you to do that now also from a desktop application. So this is just our commitment and investment on the Windows runtime, getting bigger and coming your direction with existing apps that you might have built before. So altogether, the new building blocks, that's about 5,000 new APIs. I was planning to go one by one today, and then I thought, no, let's just go through a few of them. And so I will have a few slides that shows you the bigger changes, and then I will have a couple of nice demos to go into the detail of some of these APIs and how you can use them in real applications. And so let's get started, and let's switch to a quick demo of Windows 8.1. So now I'm on my laptop. This is my new experience. You see the star screen is probably what you're familiar with. You notice immediately, you know, there are bigger tiles. So for example, here you can see I have a larger tile for the weather application. And eventually, you know, you can take any application. For example, let's take the finance application, and you can resize it. You can go to the large tile, and now this allows you to display even more information to the users. Or if you don't care about the finance, you can really make it small and tiny. And so, like you do on Windows Phone today, really crunch it together and group, you know, like I might have here, like more tiles together. Another improvements that we did, you know, was making it easier to access your all applications. And so now if you swipe up, you see, you go to the app list where you have all the app listed, both Metro and desktop. And you can also sort them by category. So you can sort them by date of install, by most used, category, and these are the same category of the store. So it's much easier to find your applications. Something else that we introduced, and this was a great feedback from users, is this. Ta-da! 2013, the start button is back. this was... You know, when we did a keynote at Build a couple of weeks ago, and when we talk about the start button, there's been a standing ovation of, you know, 10 minutes. Some people wanted, like requested it, and so it's back. And what the start button does, it brings you back to the start screen, or you can set it up to bring you back to this screen instead. And so enterprise have full group policies and to change the behavior of it. In terms of applications and the way the applications interact with the operating system, we actually done something, I think, very impressive. Let's take, for example, this application. This is called Reading List. It comes in the box. It's one of the apps pre-installed. And let's say that I want to open, it basically collects a bunch of bookmarks. Let's say I want to open one link in the browser. So previously, in Windows 8, if you click one link, it will open a new application on top of it. Now what we allow you to do is to open applications side by side. And you have full APIs and full capabilities to control the way, you know, the resizing work. And notice also that the resize, you know, you get to decide how much space you want to allocate from one app or the other. So it's much more flexible, and it gives you much more, you know, responsive design inside your applications. Another thing that we did was enabling more than two applications running side by side. So let's say I'm opening a new application from Bing. This is my Bing Food and Drink. And then let's say I want to have also the health application side by side, you know, just to make sure that what I eat is good. And so I'm going to snap this here, and then I'm going to snap my Bing application there. And now I have my side by side of application split at 50%. How about if I want a third application, because I'm really multitask, and I want to open the weather app. So this is the new view where the weather app is open, and I can decide, okay, do I want to move it on the left or on the right, or I can just move it in the middle. And now I can do three applications side by side. And if you have multiple monitors, these numbers goes up. So you can have as many apps as you want across screens running simultaneously. So I think it's really cool and enable even more, you know, interesting scenarios and interactivity. And the last thing we did was improving the way the search work. You're probably familiar with the search contract on the right. This was there already before. What we did was help, like, improving the experience of finding content. And so we immediately display the results here from across the machine and the cloud. But we also have a richer search page. So for example, let's search for New York. That brings, you know, rich results from my file, from a local file, or from Bing, and now I have contextual information about the city of New York. I have images, I have, you know, weather, and so this is a nice search experience, and it's even more integrated with your applications as well as with the operating system. All right, so those are just a few of the user experience improvements made in 8.1. Let's go through a few others quickly. So we talk about ability to have multiple apps in the screen running at the same time. In 8, the resolution, the minimum width was 320 pixels. Now, by default, that it's becoming 500 pixels. And the developer can choose, you know, what is the mean size that he wants. And the user, of course, is always in control of the experience. We can have one application. This is actually something I didn't show you, but one application can also have multiple windows. And so imagine one application having one, you know, primary window on my Surface and then a secondary window on the television. And so you can control those two windows programmatically, and you can display different content. So it's very interesting if you are thinking about scenarios of connecting to a TV. And then we do better support of monitors. And so if you have one PC with 4 monitors, each monitor drives its own DPI resolution. So much more flexibility there. In terms of how the applications work together, we added new APIs to improve that communication. For example, People and Calendar now allow you to interact with, you know, important users' activity within the app without switching to a different application. I show you the search experience, and there is also more work done with the store if your app needs to communicate with another application. So, for example, you can decide the default app to open a specific file within your app, or the default app to share something within your application. And lastly, in terms of customization and how users customize the operating system, we've done a lot of work to make it easier and more user-friendly to the user to interact with Lifeties as well as applications. And so, for example, the operating system now will go to sleep between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. And so you're not going to get interruption. You're not going to get live tolls, sounds, buzzes, with the exception of voice over IP applications. So if you get a call on Skype, you're still going to get the call, or alarm clock application. And so if you have a reminder, like an alarm application, you're going to get that. Otherwise, it will be quiet. And it allows you to save time as well as make less noise and let you sleep better. And we do more work with the tiles. And so, for example, in 8.0, when you install an application from the store that was using push notification, the push notification started only after you launched the application once. Now, instead, we started from the beginning. We also added the capability to do polling from the app manifest. And so instead of, you know, one option continued to be, you know, the push notification from the server, and you set up all the cloud infrastructure, et cetera. Another option is to have the application do polling from within the background of the application, and we make it very easy to set this up just through, you know, a couple of settings in the app manifest. And so this is just an overview of the improvements we made from a user experience perspective. Now, let's switch into the developer perspective, and let's talk about the core platform. And I'm going to talk about XAML, HTML5, and C++, and just give you an overview of things and improvements we made in this area. Let's start from XAML. You saw the Bing application, for example, and you saw that all of them have a very consistent UI with, like, a nice large image at the beginning, and then you pan right, and then there is a nice way to navigate the data. We tuned that application template into a control, and we call that control hub, and I will show that control shortly. And we also added a lot of other controls that previously we didn't have the time to build into Windows 8.0, like the app bar, like the navigation bar, like the flyout. So we give you much more controls and flexibility to build easily Windows Store apps. If you're using web content inside your XAML application, in the past you used the WebView control, and that was quite limited in the previous version. We really re-engineered from the base, like the control, and the new web view is super powerful, and I'll show you a demo shortly. And then again, if you're using grid view or list view, we made a lot of performance improvements, and we added a lot of, you know, ways to customize the templates that allow you to have even more fast and fluid applications. So enough talking. This is where it starts getting more fun. Let's show a few demos. And so the first demo is really about the hub control. So I'm going to open Visual Studio Express 2013 preview for Windows. Phew. That you can run side by side with Visual Studio 2012, by the way. So right now, for example, I have 12 and 13 side by side. So it's great for development purposes. And as you look at the new template, you will actually notice that there is a new template here called hub. So let's go and create one hub template. And as I run this on my local machine, you will see that the look and feel of this template is really like what you get from the Bing application. So it's a nice way to interact with the page. It's a nice way to present the content. And it's much more fluid, and it's already like tailored for the like multi-window and the new screen sizes. So really easy to set up and to use. Now, this was a simple demo. Let me show you something a little bit more complex. And so this is actually a real project. This is a real application used in Spain to monitor solar energy stations. And so I have here like a snapshot of the code of this application. And I will use this application, this project, to show you a few improvements made for XAML and .NET developers. For example, you see here I have a UI. And as part of this UI, I have a text box. And what the developer of this project forgot to do was to actually give a binding to the text box. And so normally, you know, if you're doing data binding, is always, you know, a very complex experience to remember which property to connect to in your MVC model. You know, what's the name of the property I need to put here inside in my title? And so for the first time, we've done actually IntelliSense for the data binding. So let me show you how this works. Let's say I want to bind something to the text property. I call my binding. And then as I press space, Visual Studio automatically, you know, is doing refactoring of the code and is figuring out what are the binding properties I can use. And I can easily say, yeah, actually, I want the installation name. And notice that I have no idea of what the other developers that work on the data model work on. Visual Studio is doing this for me. And now, as I zoom out, you will see that I already have a preview there in Visual Studio. So this was a very highly requested feature, and we made it. I love this. The other thing that is a little trick, I'm not sure if you knew before. This is something we introduced in 8.1. You see this text block, and you see that there is a tag that is a closure tag. Really, I don't need that. So can I simplify and clean up this code? If I press slash, notice what happened. Boom. Have you seen it? Let me do it again. So I'm here at raw definition now, and you see that there is this tag that is not doing anything to close. I just press slash, boom, boom. And now my code is much cleaner. Super simple, and we handle all of the edge scenarios and IntelliSense for you. So now let's run this application, and let's see what happened. I have my application. Now let's say I want to share this map with another application. Guess what? In Windows 8.0, it was quite difficult to take components of your page and render them into an image. It's something that you probably use from Silverlight and WPF, but it wasn't quite there yet in Windows 8.0. With Windows 8.1, we are introducing render target bitmap. And so with a very simple call, so if I call await bitmap render async, and then I pass the UI element that I want to have, gridmap, I'm basically taking any portion of the UI, passing it into a live image. In this case, I'm sharing this code snippet was inside the share contract. And now next time I share, let's say I want to share with Sketch, then it's creating the image dynamically from the UI and is sharing it with another application. So something simple, but yet something that developer asked for, and now it's available. By the way, something else that we introduced, and this is another option, and it goes across all the operating system, desktop and store apps, is that you can actually take a screenshot of anything on the screen and share that with the application. So if you really want to share everything, now you can do it through the share contract. All right, so those were just a couple of examples of improvements, in the .NET, for .NET developers, in the runtime, in the tools, or in the platform. And so, as we did for XAML, now let's also look at HTML5 developers. First of all, we've done a lot of work in terms of standards. The one that is more evident we're bringing to the platform is WebGL. Some users ask us for 3D content in the browser. Well, we made WebGL not just for the browser, but also for applications. And I'll show you shortly how that works. We've also been working closely with W3C on new standards to consume media content inside your application or inside the web. In the past, you know, if you wanted to do smooth streaming or if you want to do DRM content, you had to use a plugin. Over the last years, we've been working very hard to actually open up this platform and making it like a standard. And we call that the specification that we implemented is called Encrypted Media Extension or Media Source Extensions. And allows you to plug in like all sort of existing media streams inside a web page without using plugins. And we also evolved the work started with the pointer events. And so if you're not familiar with those, it's all of the APIs to basically handle the touch, the pen, and the input capabilities on a touch device. Talking about Internet Explorer, we really, really, and this is, I'm proud of this, we really re-engineer and redesign the developer tools to make it much easier to debug and to, to build website using IE. This is an area that I know is very important for developers that are testing on Internet Explorer, and so I'll show you quickly like just an example of how the new developer tools work. And we also have other improvements, for example, for compatibility. We have a new user agent, just improve the compatibility of all the websites on the web. We have new live tiles that allows you to have more control over your live tile from a website. So we expose much more templates or notifications, even if you have a website. Of course, if you want to have the full premium experience, you still need to build an application. And then if you're using WinJS, we added new controls. So for example, the navigation that control that you see inside the Bing application to navigate inside the app now is actually a navigation control that is part of the runtime. We added touch, like drag and drop inside the list view. So the same experience that you get in the start screen, now we give it for free also inside your applications. We have a repeater. And so if you want to repeat content and you don't really care about binding or you don't have a lot of complexity of the code, now you have a control to do that super easily. We also work a lot on performance and making sure that HTML applications perform super even more quickly. An example of that investment is called WinJS Scheduler, that basically allow you to programmatically decide which part of the user interface you want to prioritize in the rendering pipeline. And so you have JavaScript APIs to tell to the GPU and to our CPU how to prioritize the work of rendering, laying out, et cetera, your page. So very powerful stuff. And again, we have exactly the same web view that we support in XAML now inside your HTML and JavaScript application. So let's take a look at a quick demo here. So the first part is, let's start from a website. This is, we took the Khan Academy, we've been working with Khan Academy to envision, how their website could look like in the future. So this is one of their exercises that they have on the website today. They have thousands of exercises, all built in HTML and JavaScript, obviously. It's a bi-dimensional heart. It's nice, but it can be better. And so this is what we built in collaboration with them. How about we explore this heart in 3D? And so now the browser is loading this 3D model of the heart. And using my hand, I can pinch and I can zoom in into the detail, or I can zoom out up to the point where actually now I see the full lab. And I can even walk around the lab. So now I'm using both the keyboard and the hand on the screen to change my direction. And you see that there are animations there. And then let's keep walking on this way. I have nice reflections of the glass of the room. And notice that the performance here is really like 60 frames per second. So we're really going super fast. So this is an example of what you can achieve today using WebGL. Now, of course, like as you start building more complex websites, you also care about performance. You care about having more control of what goes on over the page. And so let me introduce you to the new developer tools. The new F12 tools have a new look and feel, and they have a lot of new interesting UI improvements and future improvements. So for example, let's say I want to, you see the menu here at the top. You notice immediately there are a number of tips, the tools really help you to diagnose and to build your page. And let's say that I want to move learn on the right of coach, right? And so what I will do, I will select learn, and this gives me the A tag at the bottom. And then if I take the bottom tag, right, now I'm dragging and drop the control into a different point of the DOM. Notice what happened at the top. Let's do it here. I'm switching the order. And you can basically dynamically change the look and feel of your DOM page from the tools. So without the need to, you know, recompile or stop and start debugging or reload the page, all of this is done in real time. Another thing, another very useful feature is called UI responsiveness. And this is really helpful if you're trying to understand how to optimize the performance of your website. And so let's start a profiling section. Then I navigate a bit here, and then I stop my profiling section. And now I have a bunch of data. So let's go full screen so you can see better what's going on here. This is a tool that we previously used internally, but was very hard to expose externally because it's going really low level. And now its part is integrated inside the developer tools. And so the first row, like these color bars, are basically the distribution of the CPU load across the various engines of the browser, from rendering, layout, graphic, GPU, image decoding, etc. The second row instead is called visual throughput. So this is the frame per second of your page. And you can see that we're doing quite well here, but there is a drop of frame per second in this area. And so I can just select, and then I can zoom in into that specific section. And this gives me, the tool gives me much more depth and details over what's going on inside the page. And you can see here exactly like how it's time, how the browser was rendering this page. And eventually you find that there was a set inner HTML that was short, but that was triggering a long period of garbage collection, because if you change the page, then it was just rebuilding all of the objects. And that garbage collection takes a lot of time. And so now it's easier to go back to the code and change the way you were doing the set inner HTML. So very powerful tool that really help you simplifying the task of testing and debugging your websites. Okay, so we took a look at what we did for the web. Now, how do we take, let's take this scenario, right? Khan Academy invested a lot of hours, a lot of time working on exercises for the web. How do we take those exercises and bring them into a Windows Store application? And so I have here the stub of a Windows Store app for Khan Academy. And by the way, this is the same code of the app that is in the store today. And they said that they wanted to bring this exercises content. Here's all of the exercises content. So these are 400 files. It's a mix of HTML, JavaScript libraries, jQuery. There is a lot of stuff. So I'm just going to select everything, and I'm going to copy this content from my website. And then I'm going into the Windows Store application, and I'm going to paste the content here. So I just paste the content. And now I just copy and load all the content inside my project. The next step is to add a new control that we call WebView, the one that I was referring to earlier, which basically allow me to quickly connect to content that is either inside my package or is streaming from the web. And from the code, I just basically need one line of code to point my WebView control to the folder where I just dropped all of the content and structure and files that I just copied. And so if I run this application, now you see the initial WinJS application. As I click try an exercise, boom, now I have exactly the same exercise I had on the web before. And so I have exactly all of the same assets, the same navigation, the same structure, everything carried forward from the web into your app. So very, simple, it's very simple for a web developer to take what they already know and what they already have and bring them over as an application. How are we doing so far? Any question? Am I going too fast? Do you like it? Yes. There was no button for 3D view because there was in the new branch. The 3D view was a local, it's something that is not yet on the Khan Academy website. We built it as a local kind of experiment. The source code that I show you now is actually the source code of the Khan Academy website. And everything I show you, by the way, is also open source. And so you can, I'll point you to a link on Git where you can get all of this code. So we talk about XAML, we talk about HTML, let's also talk about DirectX. Bottom line, we've made a lot of investment to go faster. Either if you're a game or you have a professional application building C++ and DirectX, there are a lot of low-level improvements that overall increase the performance up to 74%, especially on lower-end devices. So if you have a complex game with complex engine, even on a low-end device with low memory and low CPU, now you're much faster. And you can, a couple of things that I would call out from the improvements we made in this area are tiled resources that allow you to basically package your resources in a way that use much less memory, and so gives more space for the CPU to work. And then also like the work done with the shaders to improve the performance and at runtime compilation of the shaders. And so to prove you the DirectX performance improvements, I have a couple of fun demos. Ta-da. We're going to switch to my machine. The first one, it's called PhotoBooth. This is an application I wrote just for fun. And all it does, it basically applies a number of effects. And so if you don't like having one Georgia, now you have two. Or you can have, four. And all of this is done in real time. So this is a C++. It's actually an HTML application with a C++ backend doing the effect. But you can also go and do more complex things. For example, now I'm using shaders to do, in real time, modifying like my face and do distortions. Or you can go and, for example, do a blurry version of me, like Back to the Future, or a Lego version. And all of this is just an example of how to use pixel shaders running in the GPU, and really, this is very complex stuff. We are doing live processing of images in real time from a camera feed at a 1920p resolution, so it's really complex. And you have the same performance that you get on a 60, on my laptop, on a RT device, on an ARM device. The other game that I'd like to show you, this is not yet in the store. This is brand new, is on its way to the store. Coming from China. Let's see if, as I say, it's still new, so I might need to restart it. And this is their local version of Mortal Kombat, or Street Fighter, or you name it. They just kick each other. Let's see. There it is. So if I continue my game, which one should I choose? Okay, I'll pick this. I'll pick the girl, fine. And so this gives you an example of the type of experience that you can build with, once you get to very complicated games. Look at the graphic here and the animations and the performance and of the game. And of course, I need to do more exercise here. I'm not sure if I'm losing or winning. Ta-da. All right, but you can see just an example of how complicated games you can build, using Windows Store apps today. I can spend the rest of the presentation just playing if you'd like. Anyone would like me to play all the time, all the rest of the time? Did you see the game? Was I projecting the game? You did, right? Okay. All right, here we go. We talk about the core platform investments on XAML, on HTML, and C++. Now let's talk about the UI and a few other things. In terms of UI, we're adding PDF support, so now you can render PDF pages inside your applications. This was a very highly requested feature. And Adobe also announced EPUB support for Windows Store apps. You can do speech synthesis, so similar to what you do on the Windows Phone today, you can now also let your application talk. And we also have new type of application, for example, the alarm application that can set up alarm reminders. And we, of course, made improvements across the UI and the contracts. In terms of networking and security, we're introducing a new HTTP client that has a unified networking stack across all of applications. So regardless what language you're using, now you have a new HTTP stack to do requests. And that's great because it gives you, you know, all of the caching and prefetching and security model. It gives you much more control over what goes over the network. We're also doing investment in terms of security in how we handle, for example, fingerprint authentication or how we handle single sign-on. So let's say that, for example, you want to connect your applications to, I don't know, Facebook or any other social provider. What we allow you to do now in Windows 8.1 is to insert your credential once and then really do single sign-on across all of the applications that need that provider. So it's much easier the experience of authentication and controlling your own account settings. And in terms of devices, we also increase the area to access devices. Either it's through Bluetooth, or it's through Wi-Fi Direct, or it's through, you know, USB or serial port. We give you a lot of new ways to communicate with external devices. And this, for example, includes 3D printing or includes point of service, like think about scanners or barcode readers. We even have, in fact, an application in Windows 8.1 that is used for scanners to just scan documents. So we give you much more control over external peripherals. And so for that, I have actually a couple of demos I'd like to show you. Let's start from speech. And so let me show you here a quick game. This is a game we built some time ago. I'm basically the Yeti. I can control it using my touch, or I can control it using my joystick, right? And I'm basically throwing the balls at the zombies. Yes, and then I win. Yes. Yes, this is something I built last year in an hour. It's just like 200 lines of code, so it's not very complex. It's all open source, so again, you can download it. So this is something old, it's not new. What's new about this is that you heard that when I was hitting, you know, the zombies walking on the screen with the ball, I was actually playing an audio. There was just bang, bang, bang. And that audio sound is coming from these three lines of code, where I create a new audio element, I set it to my MP3 file, and then I just play the audio. Now, I want my Yeti to speech, to say something. And so here's where it comes like a new API in 8.1. So let me drop this snippet of code. We call this speak function. And all the speak function does, it takes a synthesizer, so this is a new API, it set it to a default voice, so you have control over which voice you want to use, the gender and the age and the language. And then I take a text string and I convert the text stream into an audio stream. And once I have the stream available, I just use exactly the same code I used before to convert that audio stream to my HTML audio tag. And so let's go where I was playing my sound before. I just command these lines. And as I say, speak, I say this. Now, when I play again the game, and I hit somebody.
Sorry.
Oh, let's raise the volume.
Sorry.
Now he's saying,
sorry.
You can hear it speaking, sorry.
Sorry.
All right, so very simple example of how to implement, you know, audio and speech capabilities in your app. Hopefully your app will not ask sorry, will do something more interesting. But it's just, you know, quick proof of concept. And as you notice, like this was already using an Xbox controller. So there was an example of how to use, you know, external device in 8.0. This was possible to control before in 8.0. Now let me show you a device that we couldn't control in 8.0 yet, but now with 8.1 you have the APIs to do so. And that's called, for example, Sphero. I'm not sure if you've seen this before. This is a magic ball. And we can communicate with this ball using Bluetooth. And so now I have an application built in 8.1 that is going to connect to this object and do a bunch of things. And so the first thing we need to do is wake up the ball. Okay, now it's up. Then we initiate the connection. So hopefully we're gonna connect to it.
It's connecting. It's restarting. Sometime it might take some time, like a bit of time to connect on this. Let me look at my Bluetooth setting. Sure that I have everything enabled. Maybe it wasn't completely up, it's still an early morning. Okay, now it's connected. Now I go inside my app. Come on, do it. My Bluetooth this morning doesn't want to collaborate. I'll try one more time. Unless somebody with you in the room is trying to mess up with my Bluetooth. Are you? All right, I guess I'll show you this another time. But what it was supposed to do, it will connect to this sphere, and then it will send over the serial port messages to this sphere using Bluetooth, and then it will change color, or it will rotate in the screen. It does a bunch of things. I promise I'll get back to this later. Very powerful. Just imagine it was an amazing demo. Thank you. Thank you. Now imagine another amazing demo, and another one, and another one. No, I'm kidding. All right, so we talk about devices, and we talk about improvements for Windows Store apps. What about desktop applications? We've done a lot of work also for desktop apps. And for example, some of the things that developers can immediately benefit from are per monitor DPI settings, which means that if you're using multiple monitors, you can set different DPI ratios on each one. That makes much easier to, for example, use an application like Visual Studio or Adobe Tools across multiple monitors. We also introduced direct composition and direct manipulation for desktop apps. And if you're not familiar with those two concepts, it's basically what allows you to be fast and fluid in the start screen. When you're panning on the start screen and it's really like snappy, that's possible because of direct composition and direct manipulation. And now you have exactly the same capabilities inside your desktop application. And of course, like we are continuing to invest on .NET, and we released the 2 weeks ago the 4.5.1 version of .NET, which brings new features for Windows 8, brings increased performance, and additional tools to build application cross devices as cross .NET runtimes. And last but not least, the Windows Store. Lastly, this is our way to distribute applications to Windows devices, and for you to monetize your applications. And this is an area that we care a lot about, and we really listened to the feedbacks we got from consumers as well as from developers. And we had a lot of new features in 8.1. We have a new client experience that I will show you shortly. It's integrated with Bing, and so, for example, we're using the same algorithm that we use in the search engine world, to understand what are the relevant apps inside the store. So it's really complicated. Algorithm now apply to our store. We have a nice feature called automatic app updates. And so once the developers submit an application to the store or submit updates, the user will automatically get the updates. It doesn't need to go back anymore to the store tile, click update, confirm, etc. Which means, as a developer, that your users will be on the last version of your application at any time. So a great feature that request. And also, in terms of how we monetize application, we made a number of improvements for helping you monetize even better your apps. For example, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but we added support for Alipay. In Windows 8.0, we had credit cards, we had PayPal. Alipay is similar to PayPal, if you're familiar with this, but it's very popular in APAC. Like if you go to China, everyone is using Alipay. That is a different system. And now it's available inside Windows Store Commerce, which eventually will help you monetizing even better your apps when you submit them to the China's market. We're adding consumables. So, for example, if you have a game, you can you can sell, for example, coins, or you can sell levels or bonus features. So you're much more flexible in how you handle the transaction with the users, as well as a number of optimizations for resource packs. So for example, if you have a game with a lot of assets, let's say we increase the size of the package to 8 gigabytes, we're also giving you the ability to split your application into multiple packages. So you can have one for the images, one for each language, one for each resolution, one for each platform, to help you breaking down like the total size of the package. And a lot of other improvements, you know, in the certification process, in the security model, in the discoverability model. The last item is important. The Windows 8 application will continue to work as is on Windows 8.1, and the store will allow you to submit either an 8.0 application or an 8.1 application. Of course, the 8.1 application will work only on 8.1. And the ingestion of 8.1 application will start when we go live with 8.1. So at this point, the store is only accepting 8.0 apps. But as soon as we go RTM, then you will be able to submit applications also for 8.1. And so there was a very quick overview of hundreds, thousands of APIs available in Windows 8.1. You can download it at dev.windows.com, and you can find also, you know, more documentation and more material there. You can find hundreds of hours of video recorded from channel9.msdn.com. If you have any question, I'm here all day, or you can ping me on Twitter. I want to thank you for your time. If you like the session, feel free to fill out a survey. Otherwise, just come talk with me and give me the feedback directly. Or no, I'm joking. Just feel free to fill the survey either way. Thank you again for your time. Any question? Yes. Okay.
If you need to open up a developer account, anything new?
Anything new with regards to opening a developer account?
Yeah. So do they still need credit cards to do so?
Correct. We are still asking for a credit card to validate.
Yeah.
Yes. Students still have the DreamSpark process to get free tokens to the store, free tokens. The validation is still there. We need to validate the developer. Yes. So I didn't show it, but I'll show you now. If I go to the store, so this is the new store application. And you can see the new UI. You know, there is a new spotlight on the left. We have picks for you, so now we recommend you apps based on your history. And if you go to the settings and your account, we actually give the ability to developers or to shops to have tokens. And you can redeem, you see here, you can redeem your code. And it is going to give you virtual currency into your account that you can use for any application.
So then how do customers or vendors apply for this code?
We didn't share the details yet, but you can expect that as we go live with Windows 8.1, we'll share more details. Any other question?